behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
Hi, I'm Sharon Clark of Home Helpers. It's amazing to look back at all the families we've touched since 2004, but our clients say it best.
I want to express my deep appreciation for the love and support you and your...
So fortunate to have an organization like Home Helpers.
You never know how much your contribution meant or how greatly you touched our lives.
Thank you so much for helping me care for my husband.
After hearing what it's meant to them, I truly can't imagine doing anything else. When you need help for your loved one, choose Home Helpers. There is no place like home.
SST Oil on Windham Lane in Reading, your source for specialty fuels and oils, including kerosene and low-sulfur fuel oil. They feature Toyotomi heating systems and on-demand water heaters. Save $100 on a new Toyotomi home water heater and ask about special savings for residents affected by the car fire. Locally owned SST Oil, supporting the community through summer fires and winter snows. Stay warm and cozy with Toyotomi and SST Oil. 241-1167. 241-1167.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and today my special guest, 12-year-old Allison, and I are talking about bullying. How kids get bullied. You're listening to the incredibly beautiful Native American flute music of Randy McGinnis, and we thank him for allowing us to use his music on our show. So, Allison, before the break, we were talking about bullying and how this happens with kids. Can you give us any other examples of bullying so that our listeners can really understand and relate to what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, sometimes other people get physically bullied, which I don't think is okay, but sometimes that would happen to me. Like, one time a group of kids worked on a plan just so they could trip me. And, like, they planned it out because I was running on the field and I saw this kid was running up to me. So I moved and I watched as he suddenly, like, moved towards me. And he tripped. I realized that this was on purpose and he tripped me and ruined my jeans. And they were all laughing and it made me really sad that they would, like, you know, plan that out and...
That a group of them would work together to trip you.
Mm-hmm, to hurt my feelings. And, like,
then did they laugh at you or what?
Yeah, they were, like, on the floor laughing. And it wasn't funny. And, you know, I just kind of ran away and I was so upset. So.
Yeah, and it isn't just upset about falling. It's the whole plan that a group of kids would get together, trip you on purpose so that they'd have something to laugh at.
Yeah. It's not just the falling, it's that they would actually plan that out and take time out of their day just to hurt my feelings and make me sad.
Yeah.
Because I wouldn't do that to them, and I don't know why they would do that to me.
Yeah. What would be the purpose in that?
There's no purpose. It's just to hurt my feelings.
So when we look at one of the reasons why kids bully, there's a mob mentality that happens. Kids want to be liked by other kids. So when one instigator child comes up with the idea of, hey, let's go trip Allison, it'd be funny, the other kids sometimes will go along with it so that they can be popular or that they won't become the target of bullying. Because if one of those kids stood up and said, that's mean, we wouldn't do that, the other kids might start teasing that kid.
Yeah.
So have you ever been the kid that has stood up for other ones?
Yes, and I don't like seeing bullying because I can... You know, I know how it makes you feel, and even if people were trying to pressure me into bullying someone, I wouldn't do it, because it's not worth taking the time out of my day and hurting someone's feelings.
Yeah. So you would stand up and say, no way, we're not going to do that.
Yeah. That's even if it made me unpopular, I don't care. Then I don't want to be popular if that's what it is.
And that, I think you're really right onto something there, because that's kind of the bottom line. You have to be strong enough to do your own values and your own morals that you've been taught, which leads us to another reason why kids bully. It's modeled for them at home. If kids will only bully, or not only bully, but they will often bully when demeaning and put down comments and things like that happen in their home. So if, for example, if they're hearing their parents fight with each other and call each other stupid and putting each other down and calling each other names, then it's modeled for them that this is how we treat people.
Yeah.
Often kids that bully and have aggressive problems are bullied by older siblings, or they're bullied by neighborhood kids and things like that. So then they go to school and find what they view to be a weaker person and start bullying that person.
Sometimes they could be fine at home. They just want to impress other people
at school.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's for attention any way you look at it, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
And somebody is the target and the victim of the bullying that hurts their feelings.
Yeah.
Okay. How at your school, how well do you think teachers and yard duties and administration staff and things like that dealt with the bullying issue? Were there anti-bullying programs in place?
No, because I think it's just such a problem now that people stopped caring, you know, and stopped trying to stop it, because you can't really stop it anymore. There's always going to be bullying. If you switch schools, there's still going to be bullying. Mm-hmm. But, you know, you just try and, you got to try and ignore that and focus on yourself and not giving them your energy. So.
Yeah, you don't want them to steal your energy like an energy vampire.
Mm-hmm.
You don't want them taking it from you by putting you down.
Yeah.
So you're trying to stay strong in the face of feeling like someone doesn't like you.
Yeah.
And that kind of rejection hurts, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it wounds your heart. Yeah, makes me just want to give you a hug. Okay, so you gave me another example when we were at break about how kids bully you, and they bully you with the word autism. Can you tell us about that?
Yeah. So I know there's ways that people will often call things retarded as a joke, and I don't think that's okay, but now the new thing is calling things autistic. Like, that's autistic as a bad thing, and it's not a bad thing, and I don't think it's very funny. They do it in front of me. A lot of kids from my school would do that. And
how would you handle that when they do that?
Well, I'd usually go up to them and tell them, please don't do that, that's offensive. And even if it wasn't them saying autistic, even if they were saying that's retarded, even if it was my friend saying that, I'd say, let's not say that. Because I don't care if it's my friend, it's not okay to say. It's not okay to make fun of disabilities like that. Because right. Imagine if you had that disability and people were making fun of it.
And what I think is really cool is you don't picture your autism as a disability.
It's not.
It's just your brain is wired differently, and it gives you some superpowers.
Yeah.
Which is cool. So what I really admire about what you're saying and what you're doing in your life is you're trying to know who you are. You're trying to stay strong in your own values. And you're trying to stand in your truth in the face of some pretty mean adversity sometimes. Kids just being cruel for no reason.
Mm-hmm.
I have kind of a theme word that I've thrown around in my life in the last few years, and it's the word unnecessary. So much of what people do to others is unnecessary. And bullying really falls under this category. And maybe that's a coping skill for kids. Like, how would it be if you looked at kids calling you autistic or teasing you because they tripped you or pouring milk in your tray, and you look at them and say, this is simply unnecessary. Cut it out.
I do say that. It is unnecessary, you know? And, you know, even if they're fine at home, even if, you know, they're not being bullied, I bet they want to impress people, or they're struggling, like, with insecurity themselves. And it's often, you know, you don't just do it because you have fun with it. They try and do it to make themselves feel better in some way. Even if they don't even realize it, maybe they're doing it because they were bullied and they want to get back at the world, but it doesn't help. It just makes it worse, you know?
It makes them feel worse, too, mm-hmm. doesn't it? Yeah, and so kids get messed up thinking it's going to make them popular or make things better for them, and it doesn't.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, you're right. All right, so if you responded, you know, saying that's unnecessary, stop that, leave me alone, or you go to a yard duty or a teacher or something, and it's not really helping because you get bullied again the next day, or you told me you got bullied many times per week. Mm-hmm. You would come home from school crying. You would say you were really upset, and it was hard for you.
Yeah.
So what happens if you get aggressive back? What happens to you as a kid being bullied?
Well, it just makes you look worse, and, you know, it gives them more reasons to laugh because they're like, ha-ha, your reaction is the funny thing, you know?
That's what usually, they're going for.
Yeah, your reaction. And, you know, sometimes it's really hard to not react, and I admit I've reacted before, but it's not a good choice because it just makes it worse, and it could give you a reason to be in trouble. Like, if you were to say something, you need to say stop at least 2 times, and if they don't, then you go tell someone.
Now, that's a really good rule. I like that. You say stop 2 times. So you say, this is unnecessary, stop.
Mm-hmm.
They do it again, you say, don't do this, I don't like it, stop.
Mm-hmm.
So you use that stop word at the end of your sentence.
Yeah.
I like that a lot. That's very cool advice.
Well, please don't, you know.
Yeah, exactly. So, all right, so you stand in your truth, you tell them what you think, you try not to get aggressive back, because I can just see it. The teacher walks up right when you get aggressive.
Mm-hmm.
And you look like the problem.
And if you tell them the truth, they're like, well, you shouldn't have responded like that. And
but it's really hard to be poked,
mm-hmm.
verbally or literally, and eventually not rise up and respond. So is one really good coping skill for you to walk away, to say stop twice and walk away, to go tell a teacher or to just extract yourself from the situation?
Well, I don't think just to walk away and not tell someone is okay, because you can't just let them get away with it. You need to tell someone to make sure they don't keep doing it to you and to let them know you're not just some target. And, you know, you can walk away, but you still, I think you should tell someone. As long as you said stop at least twice, then go tell someone.
That's excellent advice. I really like that a lot. So we're going to go to break in a minute. And when we come back, we're going to be interviewing a teacher with 19 years experience. Her name is Carlene Spears, and she has been teaching at a school that has an incredible anti-bullying program. And this school has had an anti-bullying program for many, many years. They didn't just institute it. So the school that you just recently left because of bullying
mm-hmm.
has no anti-bullying program.
Nope.
And they're way behind the times with this.
Yeah.
So bullying is extremely damaging to kids. It's damaging to self-esteem. I think it's even damaging to the kids that are doing the bullying. And when you hear this program that Carlene Spears is going to describe to you, it is phenomenal. I was so impressed when I heard about it that I really wanted her to come on the show and tell more people about it. So we're going to go to break, and when we come back, we're going to be talking with a 19-year experienced teacher and has some great stuff to say about anti-bullying. So we'll be back in a minute.
A jewel of the North States, a place we love to go and love being members.
The view, the best in the North State, from the restaurants, meeting rooms, and of course on the award-winning 18-hole golf course, Riverview Golf and Country Club. It's the place to belong.
Go in and meet the friendly staff today or go to their website at riverviewgolf.net and find out about their introductory memberships.
Riverview Golf and Country Club, corporate, social, tennis, fitness, and golf. Get it all. Become a member.
It's affordable and fun. Riverview Golf and Country Club.
When you're looking to add a pet to your family, Haven Humane Society is a place to start. Hi, this is Mark from Haven to tell you that shelter pets make the best pets. With kittens, puppies, dogs, cats, bunnies, guinea pigs, hamsters, snakes, birds, and more, Haven has a pet that is the right fit for your family. We also provide education, training, spaying and neutering, dog licensing, and so much more. If you're looking for a way to help our amazing have fun with the animals while helping us to save lives, for more information, call 241-1653 or visit havenhumane.org. Like us on Facebook and follow our progress as we work towards a day with no more homeless pets in the North State.
We all had friends and family that were affected by the car fire. Most of the cleanup is done now, and a lot of families are looking at rebuilding. If you relied on a well for your water system, it's important to assess the condition of your well and its capabilities to be able to meet the demands of new construction codes. I'm Ted Ogilvie with Diamond Core Drilling. We've been providing water well systems and pumps in Northern California since 1980. Let us help you with your rebuilding process. That's Diamond Core Drilling, 275-8162.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. And you're listening to a track from Randy McGinnis' CD, Walking with the Spirits, with classical violinist Lucille Carlson from the Prague Symphony. It's a beautiful CD. All right, you're listening to Therapy in a Nutshell, and we're talking about bullying. And I've got on the phone line, if you could bring her on, asking my producer Jared to bring Carlene on. Carlene Spears is a teacher with 19 years' experience, and she's been teaching at a school named Mistletoe Elementary School here in Redding, California. Carlene, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Thank you.
Oh, I'm so grateful that you're coming on to tell us about your program, because it is phenomenal. I am so impressed by it. Can you tell us a little bit about you and then about this program that Mistletoe has in place?
Okay, well, I've been with Mistletoe for 19 years, and all of our leaders, I've had six, and I'm getting my seventh one next year, new principal. But all of our principals here have had one basic philosophy, and it's been tribal. And with that, we adopted a program called Capturing Kids' Hearts, and it's from Flip Flippin', and the base of the program is that if you have a child's heart, then you have their mind. So
that's beautiful.
I love the program. And so your whole staff, our whole district, really Enterprise Elementary, all of our teachers, all of our aides, we've all went through this process and been trained in capturing the children's hearts.
And how do you do this when it relates to bullying? What happens at your school when bullying happens? Or how do you do your anti-bullying program?
It's really a tribal approach, to be honest. The Capturing Kids' Hearts has us set a foundation in every single classroom. And within that foundation is a social contract. And every student in every school has to come up with a social contract that they feel that they can live with and abide to and also be role models for. And within that, every classroom social contract, depending on the makeup of your classroom, may look a little bit different, but still has those kind of same base rules. In kindergarten at Mistletoe, our social contract is to be kind, be safe, and be helpful. And if your choices, your actions don't fall within those three things, we kind of want to know why you're doing it. In society, when we grow these beautiful little humans, you know, if you do something out in society and it's not kind, it's not safe, it's not helpful, you probably shouldn't be doing it, and it's kind of the truth in it all. And so we like to start with it in kindergarten. They put our thumbprint and we write their name, because we do have a TK blend, and maybe they can't write their name. But as they go up in the grades, they come up with the rules. They come up with responsibility. They depict things on their social contract that how they want to be treated, not only by their peers, but also by the teacher. It's important for us as teachers that if we step out of bounds, we kind of need to be called on it, because we're role models for this.
That's awesome. So what would be a social contract example for the seventh graders? Like, my guest here today, Allison, is 12 years old and just finished seventh grade. What would be a social contract for seventh graders?
Well, our two teachers here, Megan Bell Castro and Christine Wagner, they share classrooms, so they have a couple of different contracts. It depends on the period that is in their classroom, because you do this with each period you have, because some of the classrooms are blended. But it starts with, how do you want to be treated? Well, I want people to be nice to me. So you might put up there, I want people to be nice. It might be something basic. It could be physical. Don't push. Don't shove. It could be no spitting. It could be basic manners, holding a door for somebody. If somebody looks like they have a full, you know, hand, just being a
polite,
good human being.
Yeah, being polite, being helpful. Yeah.
Right, and looking to yourself as a server, you know, how can I help you? Just in your natural actions of every single day. And if somebody breaks that social contract, it's called a foul, and we have a hand movement for it. And it's not offensive. It's not in your face. It's not pointing. It's just saying, hey, time out. There's a foul going on. And to be human about it.
So to be even kind about how you call a foul.
Oh, absolutely, because being called on something is hurtful as well. It's knowing your truth or how somebody else is perceiving it, and that's mm-hmm. important as well.
So when someone calls a foul, then what happens?
We pause and ask what the foul is, and if it's, somebody threw something in somebody's hair, let's just take that as an example. Was that kind? Was it safe? Was it helpful? Well, no, it wasn't. Well, why did you do it? Well, I just wanted to. Because you're going to have those kids who are going to say, well, because I wanted to. They're going to be forceful with it. And one of the things that kind of goes hand in hand with that is we have four basic questions that we have that, what were you doing? And then the second one is, what were you supposed to be doing? And it's probably going to be, well, I should have been doing my homework and or my work and not throwing something in somebody's hair. Well, are you doing it? Well, no, you're not. And what are you going to do about it? And we're hopeful for the response of, well, I'm going to get back on task. And once you've been trained in this program, you have very specific things that if you have a child who's, if you ask them, what are you doing? They're like, nothing. No, what are you doing? You stay on that track. And it doesn't mean asking the question 10 times. It's asking the question 2 or 3 times, and then there's another level of consequences, which is also made up by the classroom.
Yes. Okay. And so there's a very specific protocol. And does this go for all adults in your school? Or like, does it have to be your own teacher that you go to if there's a foul?
Oh, no. It's really, the approach is tribal. And it doesn't matter if you came in kindergarten and I see something in 7th or 8th, I'm still part of this system. Everybody's accountable to each other, because when we get in society, we really are accountable to others to be kind, and it really should overflow, and we're hoping that it becomes a natural part of your DNA.
Yeah, but you're raising good humans, not just educating them.
Oh, yes, definitely.
You told me something really cool when I was talking to you about this program. You said a child can go to the janitor, to the cafeteria lady, to any teacher, any administration. They can go to the bus driver. They can go to any adult in your school.
Right.
And they are all trained in the tribal response that says, what's the foul? What are we going to do? And they go into protocol.
Right.
So there's no just falling between the cracks.
No.
I just think that's beautiful, and that's where so many schools are lacking in a comprehensive approach. Now, the other thing you told me about that I really want you to speak to is, how do you deal with parents that come in and say, oh, my poor child, what are you being mad at my child for?
Oh, gosh. Well, one of the things, and again, it starts down at the very lowest level of K, is that getting that child to be able to verbalize what's going on. Because sometimes, to be honest, we don't want to upset our parents, so our story might be a half-truth, but we come together, and there's several platforms to get this achievement done by, but it's getting the child to also verbalize what may they have said to their parent, to get their parent saying, oh, my poor woe's child. It's, well, that's not exactly what you told me. And
right, so the child goes home and tells kind of a half-truth.
Right.
And then the parent shows up and is mad at the school.
Right. And to be honest, is sometimes those truths, they're hard to swallow as a parent. But I feel like our approach here is we're here linking arms with you. And it's not a shame game. It's not a, you know, your child's being victim. It's, well, there's a half-truth here. Let's get to the other side of the truth, and let's pull the Band-Aid off, and let's see how we can accomplish a better day and a better tomorrow. And we really do bring the parents along. The parents aren't raising these babies by themselves. We're a huge influence on these kids, and if we use it in the right ways, we're going to raise amazing human beings, but it has to be everybody involved. And as hurtful as some truths are, we still need to see them.
So you help parents not let their kids off the hook in a good way.
Oh,
like
absolutely.
The parent that wants to come in and says, well, my son was just being tired that day, or he had an earache or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
You're not letting the parents excuse their child's behavior. You're helping the parent along to hold the child accountable.
Right. Because of that, it's one of those things you have to think, when my baby grows up and they're out in the real world, the sad part of it is those excuses are like belly buttons, and everybody has one. And you really have to be accountable for yourself. And you wouldn't want to get the phone call from authorities when your child's over 18 saying, okay, your son decked a cashier.
Right.
And
Because he had a toothache.
Yeah. That's not going to fly in society. It's not. You can have the worst day out there. You can have an ear infection, but you still need to be kind. You are allowed to say to somebody, I'm not feeling good today. That provides the grace of saying, can you just leave me alone for a minute? And it also lets your friends know they need some rest time, you know?
Yeah, it's asking what you need, not displaying aggression to get space.
And using your words appropriately.
I think that's absolutely beautiful. Now we've got about 1 minute left. What in this segment? What would you? Anything particular you want to make sure you say, or that you sum up, or give us some last words of advice in this last minute?
I would say, be sure to hold yourself accountable, but also your child is hurtful is or as painful as sometimes that can be, you're really growing a better human being, and you really need to think that when that child's away from you, what do you want adults in their life to think about them? You know, that they're accountable, they're honest, they're moral and ethically sound, and how are you going to help achieve that? And sometimes that's looking at ourselves and knowing our own truths. And working on them.
That's beautiful. That's wonderful. Now, to finish up, just say the name of the program again that Mistletoe used as their model or studied.
It's Capturing Kids' Hearts,
mm-hmm.
And it's the Flipping Group. It's FLIPPEN, and it's by a guy named Flip Flippin. And it's amazing. It's just an amazing program, and all of Enterprise does it. All of the teachers, the aides, we've all been trained. And it's just a holistic tribal approach to raising great humans.
That's wonderful. I want to thank you, Carlene Spears, for being on the show today and helping educate people about bullying and helping educate schools on how to get their programs going to do this tribal approach and capture kids' hearts. Thank you, Carlene. I really appreciate your participation.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye.
We're going to go to break, and we'll be back in a minute.
Hi, I'm Dr. Kara Tennant with CARE Animal Hospital, and I'm inviting you to join me on the Carl and Linda Morning Show. We will be discussing all of Reading's local pet needs and how to keep your pet happy, healthy, and safe. CARE Animal Hospital is a local veterinary clinic located on the corner of Hilltop Drive and Lake Boulevard. Make sure your best friend has the best possible care today.
Join Dr. Kara Tennant the third Friday of each month in the 8 a.m. hour here on locally owned KCNR.
The average adult is issued 32 troopers that, with proper care and just a little discipline, should serve you well during your entire tour of duty on this planet. They're called your teeth. But when your platoon gets out of line, holes in the formation, or other problems, you need to call in an expert, like General, Dr. William Farrell, with decades of experience keeping those troops in line and executing their assigned duties properly and dependably. If you'd rather not be there while he reestablishes order amongst the troops, Dr. Farrell offers sedation dentistry. He and his highly trained staff will whip your troops into shape without any discomforts. And having served himself in both the Navy and the Marine Corps, Dr. Farrell offers special consideration to veterans. Let him take the best care of your platoon of teeth, and they will serve you always. Call 547-5757 or visit palosidrodentistry.com. At ease.
And for a limited time, Dr. Farrell is offering x-ray, exam, and cleaning for just $175. Call 547-5757 to schedule your visit.
This is a pre-recorded broadcast of Therapy in a Nutshell.
Welcome back to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay, and today we are talking about bullying, how kids get bullied. And my special guest today is 12-year-old Allison. Allison is on the autistic spectrum. She is what we used to call Asperger's, but now we say you're on the spectrum. And so Allie tends to have sensory issues, mostly. She explained earlier in the show that she has issues with sound, too much light, texture issues, and she has sensory issues with food. So otherwise, she is beautiful, bright, talented. She has what she calls superpower. She's an incredible artist. She has perfect pitch when she sings. She has a beautiful singing voice. She's just an amazing young woman. And she is giving us some incredibly good advice about bullying. Allie has struggled with bullying. When did you say bullying started for you? You're in seventh. You just finished seventh grade. When did bullying start? First grade.
Kindergarten is just little kids, but first grade was, you know, when they started calling me names and more hurtful things,
mm-hmm.
and being like, you know, doing it on purpose. So,
and so this last year in seventh grade, some of the bullying examples you gave her, they would, instead of how 20 years ago they used to call kids retarded, which was an offensive name and a horrible thing to call someone, now they say, you're being autistic, she's just autistic. They use it as a put down.
Yeah, neither of them are okay, but, you know, I don't even know why that should be a put down at all, because autism is not a bad thing. And,
right.
You know, it just makes me, you know, different. And
well, it's interesting because as a psychologist, I see that everybody's brains are kind of wired different. Mm-hmm. We all have different personality traits, different strengths and weaknesses. And it's how our brains are wired, how our genetics are. So in the autistic brain, with your neuroatypical brain, you simply are wired a little different than the neurotypical brain. It's not that you're not smart, that you have a lower IQ. In fact, many times people on the spectrum are extremely smart, very, very bright, and they have their superpowers to boot. So if you meet a person on the spectrum, you might want to know what their superpower is. Be listening for it. And mm-hmm. it's many, many different things. All right, so with bullying, I really want you to give some advice to kids that are struggling, because there's so many kids out there, kids that aren't on the spectrum, kids that are too tall, too short, too fat, too thin, too anything in other kids' eyes, too smart, struggle with their math. What are the reasons you see kids get bullied? They're different in some way, usually.
I see kids get bullied for their looks or
what they wear.
Yeah, what they wear. Like, I wear a corgi hat, and people often bully me for that.
Mm-hmm.
And kids get bullied for a lot of things, like how they talk, maybe they have a lisp, or like how I get bullied for my autism disabilities. So,
okay. Or a physical feature, like if they have mm-hmm. ears that stick out, or
birthmark,
yeah. So kids can get bullied for a variety of reasons. Give us some good advice. Allie, you're so bright. Give us some good advice about what kids should do when they get bullied.
Well, I don't, you know, if someone tells you that you're tattletaling because you tell an adult, don't listen to them, because that's just the person being scared that they're going to get in trouble and get what they deserve for not treating someone like they should. And I always do say stop at least twice and then go tell someone if they don't. And, you know, I think people, I myself need to work on my reactions better because the reactions can be a bigger reason to get bullied. And so.
So if they get a rise out of you, whether you start crying or you get angry or you jump up and get aggressive, that's the reaction they're looking for.
Yeah, and it's okay to cry, but at least make sure you don't do it in front of them because you don't want them to know that, you know, you don't want to give them what they want. And try not to let them take your energy and take time out of your day. And everyone, you know, everyone's just going to talk, okay? It's normal. You know, we all have opinions, but I don't think if it's simple. If you don't have something nice to say, just don't say it.
Practice silence.
Yeah, just keep it in your head because it's okay to think things, but it's not okay to tell, you know, it's not always okay to say them.
To say them out loud.
Yeah.
So you know when to have, to be reserved enough to keep your thoughts to yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So saying stop twice and then going to tell an adult. And let's add a little piece of advice there. When you go to tell an adult, my suggestion is to be extremely factual.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be all hysterical. Say, I was sitting there eating lunch. I was eating my pizza, minding my own business, and two girls came up and dumped my milk in my tray.
Mm-hmm.
And you say the exact facts. I said stop twice. Then I went and told the yard duty teacher who was in the cafeteria, and then this is what happened.
Mm-hmm.
But these girls have bullied me a lot. I've asked them to stop, and I'm here to talk to you about it. That would be factual, right?
Yeah.
As opposed to blowing it up and making it bigger than it was.
Mm-hmm.
What about when you go home and talk to your mom and your dad? Is it important to be factual then too?
No. Yes. Because if you lie, it's going to come back to you because the person that, like, say you told your mom and dad, they called the school, and the school talked to the person you were talking about. What if the person said, well, I didn't say that, you know? Then it's going to come back to you, and eventually you're going to have to tell the truth, and it's just going to be worse because you're going to blow it out of proportion.
So it's better to stand in your truth with exactly what happened. And people can go to my other podcast on standing in your truth to learn how to do that, too.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that kids can listen to. It's very good coping skills for standing in your truth. So as Carlene Spears was saying, sometimes kids go home and tell a half-truth, and they blow it out of proportion. They make it sound bigger than it was. And then the parents get all upset and go down to the school. And then you're right. Then the truth starts to come out, and the kid who's been bullied looks like they're lying.
Mm-hmm.
So it's really important to be factual and tell the exact truth about what happened.
Yeah. And, you know, you need to not bring emotion into it.
If you can, right.
Yeah. But, you know, it's okay to say, well, it hurt my feelings, and that's not okay.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, don't bring emotion to it. Focus on the situation. And so, yeah.
Yeah, so to recognize that it's upsetting you and it's hurting your feelings.
Mm-hmm.
What about going to your own support system, those friends that you do have?
Mm-hmm. And sometimes maybe the friends, you know, you got to make sure it's a friend that's loyal and not toxic because sometimes they might even stand up for the other person or agree with the other person and it hurts. Sometimes it's best to even go by yourself and just think and recenter and, you know, just try and focus on your energy and get rid of the intoxication. Because even if you want to talk to your friend, think about what's best. Like, do I really need to be around more people or do I need to focus on give myself some alone time, you know?
To calm down.
Yeah, to calm down because sometimes that's the best solution.
So that brings up an idea, too. When you have a support system, like you had several friends at school.
Mm-hmm.
So if you've got friends at school that know what your issues are, that you have sensory issues, or know you and support you. If you tell your support system what you need, then they can provide that for you. So, for example, if one of your good girlfriends, if you said, hey, if I come up to you and say I've just been bullied, what I really need for you is just to stand there with me, or I need a hug, or I need just a little bit of reassurance.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you remind me, don't let their energy into you, just blow them off. Try to let it roll off your back. Make like a duck in water. Let it roll off your back. That's what I need from you if I come up for support.
Yeah, and you can't, like, force them to get into the situation, like, say, here, go stand up for me or something. And if they say no, then you kind of have to respect that. Like, they don't have to be involved in the situation. And Yeah, so.
Yeah, so you don't want to drag someone else in, but sometimes you need your friends to be there for you and offer you support.
Mm-hmm.
So letting them know in advance, I get bullied for my autism, or I get bullied because I'm smart, or I get bullied because I struggle in math. When I come to you and say I'm getting bullied, it would really help me if you did A, B, C.
Mm-hmm.
That lets them know what you need without it being inappropriate or dragging them into it. Or would you go with me to go to the principal's office and tell the principal if the principal will listen?
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
you don't have to force them to go.
You're asking for what you need, and you're trying to get that accomplished.
Yeah.
Okay, what other advice can you give kids that would help them?
Well, you know, maybe, well, okay. So sometimes when you're being bullied, it's really hard to just, you know, not yell at them back, because when you think about it, you know, they're taking time out of their day just to hurt your feelings, and it makes you sad. But you really need to focus, like, these people probably aren't going to get as far as I am in life. And if this is how they treat people, then they're not going to, you know, have a very good future. They're going to need to practice on it. Because if you've already learned not to treat people like that, then you're already better than them. You already know more than them.
Absolutely.
And smarter than them. And it is hard to not, you know, blow up at them and start calling them names back. Because even if you do call them names, you obviously don't mean it. And they
right, you're
often
not,
don't
you're
know
not
that.
Going by your values or your truth, because you don't call people names.
And they, yeah. And
so you're saying don't stoop to act like them.
Mm-hmm. And I admit I've done that before. I've gotten angry, but I've learned over time not to do it. And to just, if they keep calling, you know, they keep calling you names and say there's not an adult nearby, you're going to need to tell an adult at some point. And don't say anything. Like, if they keep calling you names, ignore them, because they're just digging their own grave. You know, they're making it worse for them, because when an adult comes into the situation, it's going to be very, you know, bad for them. So
you're saying hold your own space, stand in your truth, say stop twice, ask for help, get
mm-hmm.
support from your system, know how to recenter yourself.
Yeah.
Those are all excellent pieces of advice. I cannot believe you're only 12 years old. You're amazing.
Thank you.
Anyone out there that's struggling with bullying, if you would like to write to Allison, she'll write you back. You can write to Allison Bedford, care of KCNR Radio in Redding, California. You can get the address online, kcnr1460.com, and we'll make sure Allison gets your letter. So, kids, if you're struggling, there's somebody that understands and will listen. Write her a letter. She'll get back in touch with you. Give her your email or how to contact you on social media, and she can connect. So I want to thank you for coming today, Allison. You're an incredible guest, and you did some awesome stuff for people out there today.
Thank you.
And I appreciate it. Well, thank you, everybody. You've been listening to Therapy in a Nutshell. This is Dr. Patricia Bay. You can tune into my podcast on anchor.fm, or you can listen to my podcast on iTunes or Spotify. It's called Dr. Patricia Bay, Therapy in a Nutshell. Share this show about bullying with anybody that you think it would help, because in Therapy in a Nutshell, I'm trying to help heal the world 1 hour at a time. Mm-hmm.